You've been spammed. We're going to talk about spam today because every single one of us that uses an email service gets spam on a daily basis. Spam emails are a huge annoyance to the internet goers, especially for businesses and companies. With some 80% of all emails reported as unsolicited, the numbers don't appear to be decreasing at all. This has many people wondering just what is being done to protect their privacy, and of course, what they could do to protect their privacy and stop this incoming spam. Well, today you're going to learn how this occurs, as well as solutions to this problem, straight from the horse's mouth in our interview with a former spammer on this episode of George Orwell 2084.
If you use the internet, then you face serious threats to your privacy and constitutional rights. George Orwell 2084 is a show like no other. It's time to fight back. Here he is, David Bowron.
Receiving spam? Well, it's a common complaint of many internet users. In fact, spam email has become an increasingly bothersome problem as individuals spreading email spam find easier ways to invade users' email accounts, leading to the necessity of such tools as like spam filters and spam blocker features. But you know what? They find a way around those too. And while spam is on the rise, many internet users still have limited knowledge as to what constitutes spam and what a spam email actually looks like, because they're mimicking what you would look at and say, hey, this looks legitimate, but it's actually spam. So what exactly is spam? How common is it? What are the examples of common spam today? Well, first, what is spam? The term spam refers to submitting the same message to a large group of individual, masses of people, in an effort to force the message onto people who would otherwise choose not to receive this message. That's what spam is. There's basically two types, and I'll go through. Cancelable spam is what it's called, and it refers to spam email in which a single message is sent to two or more groups. This type of spam is directed at lurkers or individuals who read news groups but who either do not or infrequently post or give their email addresses away. So that's not like they're just giving it their email address to everybody. It's not that way. So this cancelable spam reduces the utility of news groups by forcing through advertisement, and as such decreases the ability of administrators and managers of news groups to manage accepted topics. So this spam is run at a low cost to those sending out spam. It's like a cheap way of spamming people is what it is. And then you have what's called email spam. And this is the most common, by the way. This refers to a spam email that is directed at individual users with direct addresses. Email spam lists are usually created by scanning postings, a Sterling Internet mailing list, or searching the web for addresses, or hacking. Hacking Yahoo was hacked. They got 500 million email addresses to spam now. So they take those, and those breaches occur, and then they sell them to spammers, and they make a lot of money. This is a big money business, as you're going to learn today. So there's a variant of this form of spam, and it's sent directly to mailing lists and email discussions that are used by public and private forums. The email spam cost individuals submitting spam email money. For example, the ISP services need to pay to transmit spam directly to subscribers. There's just a lot of people's hands in this. In addition, there are three main components to all types of spams that you receive. There's anonymous spam. The sender's identity and address are completely concealed. You don't even know where it came from. And then you have mass mailing. This is pretty common, where the spam email is sent to many recipients in high quantities. And then you have unsolicited spam. The individuals receiving spam would otherwise not have opted to receive it in the first place. So common forms of spam include commercial advertising, usually for dubious products, such as get-rich-quick schemes or quasi-legal services, political messages, chain letters, and fake spam used to spread viruses. So, and it's pretty common. This is very, spam is very, very common. I'm going to give you some stats to really bring this into focus. But with most, if not all, individuals receiving spam email at some point, and really it's like every day, these are some statistics. The following list of stats were put together regarding email and fall under a variety of subjects, such as general email, email marketing, of course, email security. So this is the these are some stats that you're going to want to know as you go forward before we get into our interview. I'm going to go through some of these. Last year, 2015, there were estimated 3.5 billion email mailboxes. 1 billion of them are business email inboxes. And it's the number's growing. It's every single year. So spammers look at these numbers and say, hey, we have a big target audience. So, you know, they're just hoping a few people click on the stuff and they make a lot of money doing it. There was an estimated 344 billion emails sent every day in 2015, totaling over 90 trillion emails sent every year, or 2.8 million emails sent every second. That's enormous. Of those 344 billion email messages sent every single day, it is estimated that 90% of them are spam or malicious. 90%. Think about that for a minute. That's out of 344 billion. Average corporate employee spends 25% of their workday on email-related tasks. This is compared to 14% spent on face-to-face meetings today. And lower on the phone, 9% spent on phone. So it obviously, people are in their emails constantly. You know, you see it. You're at the store. People are, you know, in the line looking at their emails. You see it all the time. The amount of spam is increasing at the rate of 25 to 30% every single year. That's not going to slow down anytime soon. 74% of adults online state that email is the preferred method of communication. 74%, big number. Lost productivity due to dealing with spam costs businesses approximately $997 per user every single year. It's a lot of money on waste going through spam. 91% of all spam contains some sort of link. Those are dangerous, and never click on those. We're going to go through that in this interview as well. 64% of all spam messages are related to some type of pharmaceutical product like Viagra. You know, that's a common one. Other popular topics include casinos at 7% and watches at 6.5%, like replicated Rolex watches. One in 114 emails contain malware. One in 241 emails are phishing attempts. That's big today. Phishing attempts to lock your system down, whether you're at home, business, company, and commit a ransomware crime. Lock your system down, demand money, and then unlock it for you after you pay the ransom. It's incredible. You know, I used to hear this with people, right? They take people at ransom. Now they just take your computer system and lock it down for ransom. Big business. Criminals, obviously.
Are you tired of having to remember all your passwords? Wouldn't it be nice to have all your important files, usernames, and passwords in one secure location? Finally, there's a solution for homes and enterprises. SwissSafe will store and protect all your files and passwords using military-grade encryption. SwissSafe is the preferred online digital vault for Swiss financial institutions such as UBS, Allianz, and AXA Winterthur. Create ultra-strong passwords that you never have to remember again. Send files securely to anyone at any time. Use a patented data inheritance feature for your beneficiaries. For more information, visit MySwissSafe.com. That's MySwissSafe.com.
Well, now the part of the show is my favorite part, is and that's talking to other people and interviewing guests. That in this case, his name is Patrick. He spent almost 3 years as a spammer. And Patrick, we welcome you to the George O. Wells Show. Good to have you here.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here. I appreciate it.
And thanks for taking the time. And I am so curious, Patrick. How in the world did you get started sending out spam to people? I got to know.
That's an interesting question. My son-in-law was actually the third largest emailer in the country at the time. And young kid, very bright, got connected by someone that he knew and just ran with it. And I worked for him for a couple months and figured out my own system and didn't want to be under anyone else's control or thumb. So I wanted to branch out and do my own thing. So I did. And it was interesting. The software, highly technical, and usually customized for the emailer. But at the time, that's how I started, and then I branched out and grew over the course of 3 years.
So that's how you start out. And you mentioned it was the third largest emailer at the time.
He was. He was. My son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Wow, that's pretty good achievement there.
Well, you know, for a 26-year-old to make the kind of money that he was making, you know, probably $4 to $6 million a year, there's a lot of money in emailing. The problem is that it's riddled with young, and I say young, there aren't many old people in the emailing space. They're mostly young and they're mostly unethical and crooks is what I call them.
Yeah. I definitely would. And you mentioned that the software, that it was highly technical.
Highly technical, but highly customizable. And so what they did was you actually had these programs written for the purpose of emailing out. And what we would do is we would load the machines with, and at the time I had eight to 10 servers online 24 hours a day with two full T1 connections in my walk-in closet. And so they were cranking out literally millions each. And what we would do is load those machines with a list and a large list of twos, as in who they were to, and froms, as in who they were from. But they were all fictitious.
Sure, you made them up.
Yep. And then, right? And then we would we had servers all over the world. Rather than showing that it came from us, it would come from China, or it would be bounced out of South America or somewhere else. But so we had co-locations all over the world. And so we would shoot an email out to that location, and then it would bounce back. So it was untraceable. And we always put those servers in countries where if they complained, if the individual getting the email complained, that the ISPs would just say, we don't care.
Oh, wow.
And they wouldn't blacklist us or shut us down. But there are some things that stop what we do, or what we did, I should say. I haven't done it in many years, but things like speed filters that the ISPs like Yahoo and Hotmail and Outlook and those kinds of people, Google, they have filters on emails. So if you send too many at one time, they'll lock it down. You won't be able to get in for a while.
Right.
And so we had to get around all of those filters to get into the email boxes. And the email boxes were really funny. We can tell whether you opened your email or not.
It's sort of like a read-only receipt.
But kind of, but you don't see it.
Exactly. We wouldn't know.
But you don't see it. Right. If you open it, I know you opened it, and I know that it reached it. First of all, there's one that we knew that it hit the inbox, number one. Number two, we knew that you either opened it or deleted it. And so there's a whole lot of things, and it's gotten much more sophisticated over the years since I stopped back in 2003. It has gotten way more sophisticated and more complicated. And with the advent of the CAN-SPAM Compliant Act that came in, I think it was 2002, it required emailers to do things differently, supposedly. Wink, wink. And basically, what it was one of those things that they just looked at it and said, okay, how can we get around it? And they did. And so a lot of the spammers that were spamming at one time illegally are now spamming you legally.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in the guise of instead of an ISP, it's an ESP. So it's an email service provider like MailChimp or any of those. And there are some very credible companies out there. Not to say that they're all the same. They're not.
Right. No, definitely. Sure. So, and so how did you, because this is another question that I had, how did you go about gathering and finding all of our personal email accounts? From, you know, because you're gathering them from all over the world, I take it, right? Just not, you're not determined,
well,
just U.S. only, or how are you doing that?
No, we did it mostly U.S. because we mailed out for health insurance. We mailed out for dental insurance. We mailed out for life insurance. Mm-hmm. We mailed out for mortgages and travel and auto things and whatever the current promotion was. There is a boundary that I had that I wouldn't mail out for anything nefarious or illicit. I kept it in those veins. But nonetheless, as far as the answer to your question, there are several ways. Number one, there are lists available. At the time, I literally was given a list of all of Yahoo, all of Outlook, and all of, I think it was Earthlinks databases, database.
How did you get those? I mean, who you know,
from,
the name.
From another mailer. From another mailer.
Yeah, how did he get that? I mean, how – I mean, right? I mean, isn't that a fair question?
Well, there are programs out there. They're called email harvesters. Mm-hmm. And if the ISP has links or holes in the in their web, if you will, or in their infrastructure, the email harvester finds it, goes in and pulls all of the email information, and in some cases, all of the information, period. Oh. It's not a whole lot different than probably what the NSA is doing right now.
Was it pulling metadata as well? Because you mentioned all of it.
Correct.
So metadata included.
It can.
It could.
It could.
Mm-hmm. Depends on how weak the infrastructure is.
And it does it in such a fast manner. It's interesting. Depending on the email harvester, you can literally sit outside of a site, hit the button, and just watch the email addresses pour in.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's not a onesie twosie. It's a thousands.
And they just populate.
Yep.
They all populate
and then
in your software.
Then we just load them into the system and mail out to them.
And then start going, wow. I mean, that's just fascinating.
And it wasn't targeted. It was shotgun approach. It wasn't like Google's doing where they track you and they watch what you look at and buy, and then they send you advertisements for that. We don't do that. Or didn't, I should say.
At the time, sure.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, you've seen what's going on with Yahoo and the breach. So it obviously isn't that hard to get into these free emails. I mean, we've been seeing it for years. You know, I mean, this is not difficult, and it's happening on a massive scale. And now I heard what it was just today. They have like Yahoo has 23 pending lawsuits out against them. I mean, of course, you know, because they obviously were busted lying to everybody that they weren't breached right. 18 months ago when they were. So
absolutely,
you know, and now it's a Verizon's problem to deal with too, because they bought them.
It's funny, after having gone through all of the mailings that I did and in some cases, and some of your listeners may know this, and they may have already done this, and I hope for their sakes they haven't. I've become not a security expert, but I certainly have become a security advocate.
Good for you.
And very well aware of my own security, let alone everyone else's,
right.
based on my experience as an emailer. But one of the things that comes to mind is we used to mail out for mortgage leads. And so we would send all these mortgage ads to these people. And in some cases, we would actually ask for your Social Security number. And I am absolutely amazed how many people would fill that out. And I would just absolutely, if you've done this, lesson learned, if you're thinking about doing it or get one that requests it, please don't fill it out.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, don't give anybody any more information than what you feel comfortable. And if you think they're doing you a service and you don't know who they are, don't do it, please.
Absolutely. Amen. Great advice right there.
It's not that it wouldn't benefit you. It's that in most cases, it will end up spread across the country. They sell the information. Mm-hmm. And that's something we used to do. We used to sell the leads that we generated, and that was the purpose of. And that's how we made our money, is that we would, all the responses to all of our ads, we would mm-hmm. turn around and we'd sell those to an appropriate company, like a mortgage company or mm-hmm. a large mortgage company or a travel company,
right.
whatever the case was. And that's where we would make our money, because then it would be X amount of dollars per lead. But we also sold the information of the people. And those people that had Social Security numbers, we would pass that along. And the purpose for that was so they could get and it's illegal to do it now, in my understanding, to pull somebody's credit ahead of an application. Getting them permission to pull the credit. But now, they used to pull the credit ahead of time.
Oh.
And they used to use that Social Security number for that purpose. Nobody has a right to that kind of information, period.
Absolutely not. No, they don't. Now, would you make more money selling a lead that included a Social Security number? I would think you would. But
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Boy.
And again, I was always amazed, and I did it because it was part of a program, and that's what our customers were asking for. But at the same time, I was always amazed how many people would actually fill that out.
It's
absolutely
amazing.
Amazed.
It is.
I would never do it. It's a naivety that people go through, and they think, well, you know, what have I got to lose? Well, trust me, there's a lot to lose.
Oh, yes.
You lose your privacy, you lose your identity, you lose, mm-hmm. and it's gotten a lot worse since the early 2000s when I was in the game. You've got people all over the world, and when I say all over the world, Nigeria, Russian people from different places that you wouldn't expect, are using your information for many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Whether to set up their own accounts in your name.
That's right.
With your Social Security number or whatever the case may be. There are a number of scams out there that you may see in your inbox that you may not recognize as scams. But what I would encourage you to do, and I'm sure that David's probably told you before, if you see an email in your email box that you don't recognize, delete it. Don't open it. Don't look at it. Delete it. If it's important, they will email you back.
Absolutely. Good advice right there. I mean, there's some, and I've had, and because we're kind of segueing into the identity theft, and we did a show about that last week, and for those listeners that may not have had a chance to listen to that show yet, definitely listen to that show, because this is going hand in hand here, and what Patrick's talking about. Talk about identity theft as well, because this is one of the ways that it originates is through spam, and it's a big way. And like you said, Patrick, we all know that it is far worse today. I think there's way more crooks today. I mean, I'd like to say, well, it's getting better because, you know, people are wanting to make a living being ethical and honest, but it's not the case. It's not the case at all.
Right.
We are under attack of cyber crimes to the level it's an epidemic, and we're seeing this on all levels.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutloud.com.
It's such a huge part, and I had, as I mentioned earlier in the show, all the statistics of spam, and it's really mind-boggling, and I know there's people out listening in that they didn't know this. I mean, especially for businesses, I want to talk about that, because businesses lose so much time and money because of spam, and it's increasing. And did you, I mean, you weren't targeting, you mentioned that earlier, so I assume, though, that your emails were going out to everybody, including companies, businesses, et cetera.
To some extent, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, but it works a little bit different with the business.
It's a little harder with businesses, right.
I would think so. And why is it harder?
Yep.
Why is it harder?
Well, they have their own filters as
okay.
well.
Yeah.
And as well as the ISP that they use. And so it's a little more complicated. You have to really understand what their filters are, or find out what their filters are, and then try to get around them. So it's a cat and mouse kind of a situation. And once you find it, it's like the Holy Grail. The other thing is, the whole spamming industry, if you will, or the email, the fake email or lead generation emails, it's all predicated based on money. If the money wasn't there, people wouldn't do it. There is so much money to be had. And I'll tell you a story that we talked about before, but for your listeners' sake, I was approached while I was doing this to mail for porn. At $50,000 a day, and I didn't have to mail for porn. They just wanted my leads. They didn't care whether it was travel. They didn't care whether it was for auto or mortgage. They just wanted the leads. $50,000 a day. I could not do it regardless of the amount, but it does exist, and it is all about the money. People make incredible sums of money doing this, but it's illegal. And it's completely illegal now. It's the way they get around it is simply to look legitimate and to operate
right.
in a quasi-legitimate form.
Right.
And so it may look okay, but if it's not something you requested, if it's not something you want, if it's not something you recognize, please don't open it. Delete it.
Absolutely not. And you hit it right. It is all about the money with these guys.
Right.
I am glad that you saw the light back, and you
Amen.
Went from doing this to getting out. No doubt about it. I am very glad. But there's a lot of people still doing this. And one of the things that
yes.
it's kind of good for our listeners to understand this, is that there's spam and then there's malicious spam. The malicious, and it may be, you may think, well, it's one of the same, but it's really not. The malicious spam is trying to take over your computer. It's trying to give you a virus.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We didn't do any of that, but those, when they get a hold of your email address, they'll look the same as a regular email offer. But the minute you open them, they will plant a virus or a malware or some kind of a link in your computer that will give them more information or be able to utilize. I've had people actually take over my computer and mail. Are you ready for this? Mail from my computer.
Oh.
So they literally, there is a program out there, programs, I should say, that literally, once you open it, it will not only generate the lead once you fill out the form, but it will place a little applet on your computer that will allow me to mail from your computer as if I was mailing from my own.
Oh,
and it happens all the time.
All day long, and people don't, they're not aware until somebody tells them.
Not even, well, not until their ISP shuts them down, and then they go, what is this for? And they go, oh, you were mailing. Oh, no, I wasn't. Oh, yes, you were.
Yes, you
were.
Here's
the log.
Yep. It's probably happening to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in America, just America.
I'm quite sure.
And that's
the also
danger.
How they hold their anonymity.
That's exactly right. These are bad people. These are bad people.
Yes.
And that's absolutely why we're doing shows like this, to alert people of what's going on. So for me, because there's spam and then there's malicious spam, I have to say, you know what? I don't want any spam, you know, and that's what everybody should desire that, and I think they do, but they may not know exactly what to do. And if our listeners know what I'm going to say next, because I say it, I think, every single show, but you got to get away. One of the solutions, and we're just going to get back into this and talk a little bit more about it, but one of the solutions, get away from your free emails once and for all. Would you please? Please, for the love of God, get away from your free emails. They have wreaked so much damage on people and businesses and companies, for crying out loud, companies. A business and a company has no business using a free email service at all, because first, it's not professional. You know, it's not professional at all. And there's some really good services out there. And that's the thing. We want to use the internet safely. We want to use, in this case, our emails safely. We want to check them and just, you know what? I just want to use my email and I just want to be left alone. I don't want to have the spam coming in. You know, the lost productivity for business is unreal. But like you said, as long as money is a driving factor, the love of money is the root of all evil, right out of the Bible. That's
absolutely
what it says. It's not
absolutely
money. I've had people misquote that so many times. I'm like, stop. I'm like, you know, they said money's the root of all evil. I'm like, no. The love of money is the real evil. And as long as you have people out there that see the dollar signs by doing something crooked, because this is what we're talking about here, this is going to be a problem. It's not going to just go away. And you've got to do
absolutely
what you can, you know? And I can only imagine, Patrick, how it's accelerated today to the point to where it's out of control. And we know it is. We know the numbers, and it is out of control. And it's just – it's very, very interesting. Like you said, it's a cat-and-mouse game. Where do you see it going in the future?
Well, it's interesting. It's mutated over the years to a quasi-legitimate style. And CAN Spam Compliant Act actually gave consumers the ability to sue, and I think it was $500 per instance. So if somebody emailed them and then emailed them again, they could sue for $500. If they did it again, I think it increased and again it increased. But you have to be able to prove that it was the same source.
There's the problem
That's the reason we used to load the list of tos and froms, because it would deflect from where we really were or who we really are at the time. And that's also why we would co-locate in China or South America or somewhere that they didn't really care. And so it was legal at one point, and then it became illegal. The CAN Spam Compliant Act that came in was supposed to eliminate a lot of that, if not bring it down to a legitimate level, and it hasn't. But you mentioned companies before, and companies really have more to lose. One of the things that companies have to lose is their corporate information. And they spend a lot of money building their corporation and their internal information about their company or how they do business. And it's not something that's readily transmittable. It's not something that is something they want to have out. You know, every company, every business is a little unique in how they do things, and they want that proprietary to their own company. And unfortunately, spammers and people who want to do phishing types of emails or any other kind of nefarious emails can disrupt that process and steal that information. And the problem is that you don't want people prying into your company. You don't want people prying into how you do business, what your proprietary secret sauce is.
Mm-hmm.
You want that. And if you don't have that, if you just let everybody look at it, or those people that can do, then somebody can steal that and either harm you with that information.
That's right.
Or replicate it, and you have no basis of standing in that. So I would just encourage all businesses to set up your type of situation with Privacy Abroad. It has got, you know, in looking at it and having come from where I've come from, it's probably one of the best systems that I've seen. And I did take a real hard look at it at first, I got to tell you. And I just, I'm a fan. I really, and not because you and I know each other. It's because it is a solid, solid system that really will prevent a lot, if not all, of the garbage that we see.
That's
and
right.
A lot of the prying eyes.
And that's just it. There's so many prying eyes, whether it's government. I know we're all law-abiding citizens on this call right now, and I know every single one of my listeners
right.
is too.
Right.
But we're all law-abiding citizens. We don't have anything to hide. But we still value our privacy and our freedoms. But there's also the eyes of the criminals. And there's so many different eyes now, and they're really, you know, I got to say, we're talking about this, the CAN Spam Act, and by the way, you're listening to Patrick, who spent almost 3 years as a spammer, if you're just getting into the call right now. He's a good guy now. He's telling us the secrets of this and how they did it. It's fascinating. But this CAN Spam Act, I don't think, in reading it, and you were right, it was in 2003, when it was passed, and I look at this, and I don't think I'm trying to look at it in the eyes of a spammer, okay? Somebody that's and I'm like, this doesn't scare me at all, because first of all, it's subject to penalties up to $16,000, and it has all these lists of compliance. Don't use false or misleading header information. Well, a crook was going to laugh at this. Yeah, see. That's what they're going to do. They're going to be like, oh, okay. Oh, I'll make sure I don't do that. Come on, right?
I'll use Fred instead of Tom. That's right.
Yeah, okay. A flat Sally. And then in number two on this list, it says don't use deceptive subject lines. Well, they're all doing this. So this
That's right.
Is this That's act, right. I mean, how – I mean, if somebody wants to go out there and we
I love the
– I love
the emails that say you just won the lottery,
or we're
trying to contact you to to give you this money, or Here's one that's really, really, there's a couple of them that come to mind that I've seen. And that is that they want you to verify your bank account.
Oh, wonderful.
They want you to verify the bank account information.
And
here's the problem. There are some really naive, good quality, good-hearted people
that
don't know any better, and they see that and they go, oh, no, something's wrong with my account. Well, and then they go on and they want you to fill out the information to verify it against your account. Guess what you just did? You just gave them access to your account.
You sure did. They're going to clean it out.
And the minute they do that, they will transfer the money from your account to some odd account that can't be traced somewhere, and then they'll empty it.
And that's right.
They do this not one at a time. They do it thousands at a time. And they make a lot of money, but it's your money. And you can't get it back.
I know. It's so frightening. And I know that it's in the billions. These people are making billions and billions of dollars doing this.
Absolutely.
And we just have to be aware.
Or here's one. And we've probably all seen it. And most of them come from Nigeria. I'm living in Morocco and I'm stranded. I lost all my money. or my brother has, you know, $5 million and we'll cut you in for a piece if you will be able to. I'll send you the money orders and you can take 10% and Western Union us the rest.
Oh, boy.
Well, here's what happens. I know somebody that actually did this, okay? Fell victim to this. They sent him $3,000 worth of money orders, okay? He was to keep 20%. He took the money orders. They looked legitimate. He took them to the bank. The bank accepted them. They credited his account. He took the money. He took 80%, the remaining 80%, out of his account, and he Western Unioned it to the individuals.
Oh.
And they were somewhere in another country. Well, guess what? About a week later, the bank comes back with their fraud department and says, these money orders were not legitimate.
That's right.
We had no way to verify it at the branch, but now that we have it in our possession, we have verified it, and they are not legitimate. And his account was $3,000 then overdrawn, and he was responsible to repay the $3,000.
That's exactly right. That's exactly how it happens. Horrible.
So,
great example, though, for listeners to hear that. That's a great example right there. We don't want it to happen to people.
Today you face serious threats to your freedoms, such as data collection and weak security by using free email accounts, unwarranted surveillance and cyber crimes. Ransomware, malware, and a host of other viruses are constantly attacking. Privacy of your online data is freedom. For pennies on the dollar, you can prepare now before it's too late. You too can use the same strength of protection that even Swiss banks are using. Begin today and start regaining your online privacy. Solutions for homes and businesses are found by visiting privacyabroad.com.
You know what else they're doing? You gave the story of the Nigerian, and I'm stranded over here. And what they're doing, and they're doing it in the name of a Christian now. So they're saying your brother and sister in Christ is now, and it pulls at the heartstrings of a Christian. I'm a Christian myself, and you know what? And then you do want to help out other your brother and sister in Christ. You do, and so that I think a lot of people in churches today are falling victim to that because they use all the words, they quote scripture in there. They're making it look so rosy and fine that I've got to help them. I've got to do this. This is what I'm called to do as a servant of Christ. And you do it, and you just made a big mistake. You know, you just made a big mistake. Be wise, you know, listeners, please be wise when you get these. Delete them. And Patrick, that was the advice you gave. I've read articles out there, and I just shake my head. Different articles, that, you know, it's like there's one article I read recently on spam. Well, you have to report it, and then they give all these steps, and I got confused when I was reading the steps. I'm like, now where? I wouldn't know how to do it. I would have to read it 3 or 4 times, and to figure out how to report the spam. I didn't know. I'm like, well, how do you do this? But your advice is good. Just for the purpose of our listeners, tell them why that is the best thing to do from your perspective.
Well, okay? if you unsubscribe, and some of you may say, well, what about unsubscribing? Here's what happens. In some legitimate emails that you may receive, legitimate companies, I should say, they will take you off their list. Some. Very, very few.
Legitimate ones.
An unsubscribe, which is probably 95% of your emails are garbage or spammed.
Yes.
I would say probably, if you unsubscribe, here's what happens. We get an indication that you want to unsubscribe. What that tells us is not only did it hit your email box, not only did you open it, but now you're responding to it, and it's almost an opt-in situation. The minute you unsubscribe, you indicate that you've read it.
It's better use.
It's better use for the emailer, because now they know, this guy opens email or this woman opens email. The other thing, too, is, and there's another slant to this, and it's wherever you surf. Let's say you're on a dating site, okay? Man or woman, doesn't matter. They're going to track you, like Google will track you, wherever you're at on a dating site, let's say. And let's say you do that. All of a sudden now you're going to get emails from men or women, depending on who you are, or what you've been looking at. You're going to get emails for that. And they're going to say, you know, here's my picture. Don't I look hot? Can you help me? And it's the same kind of thing as the Nigerians. It's just a different take. It's a, you know, like the Christian thing, and it's,
that's right.
They will find any and every excuse to contact you and to get you to respond. And that, if you don't respond, there's, after a while, they drop you off their list because, or they just set it aside.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happens in the emailing community, and there is a community of I want to say hackers, spammers, but they're not all the same.
Right.
What happens is they perpetuate these lists. So I can go. There was a fella during that period of time, and I've lost his name and number, there was a fella that accumulated lists. That's all he did. That was his whole business. That's how he made the money. And so I would go to him and say, I need a list for XYZ. How many millions do you need? Oh, okay. Boom. Pay him the money. Get the list emailed to me in a CSV form or CVS form.
Mm-hmm.
And I just load it. And we were off to the races. And it's that pervasive. People want your information. They want more information, so they're going to show you ads that they think will entice you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't tell you how many Viagra ads that I used to get, and I have no idea why.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shotgun approach, and they don't care who you are. They don't care what you've been looking at. They're just going to send it out there because they make X amount of dollars per lead or vitamins or whatever the case may be.
That's right.
there are legitimate companies out there, I have to say. But by and large, the emails that you get that you're not familiar with, all I can suggest is don't open them, because they're
Amen.
They're potential
Amen.
Bombs. They're potential harm to you. And mm-hmm. There is a way now, I think, with David's service to help you.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's just it. Delete it. You know, I've been using a secure email for it's going on 7 years now. And I have a control of my spam filter. First of all, I don't get much spam at all. Like, I could count on one hand in a year.
Right.
In a year basis.
Absolutely.
That's how good the filter is. But the amazing thing is you can control it. And I love having control over my email, because it is my email, and I should have control over what comes into my inbox. But I love
Absolutely.
Bouncing spam. And I got to tell you, I you don't, when you bounce a spam message back, it means that the spam filter has picked it up, detected it as spam, and ricochets it back to the sender. And I love that, because you could put your own little message in there. And I do, because I have blacklisted Yahoo. I've blacklisted Gmail. I've blacklisted AOL, all these free emails, because typically,
right.
like you said, they mimic the sender. And a lot of
Absolutely.
Times it's coming from Gmail or Yahoo or AOL. It's coming
mm-hmm.
from these free services. So I said, you know what? I'm going to blacklist all of them. And by God, if my friends and family want to communicate and email with me, then they can get a secure email and email me that way. And if, you know, they have my phone number,
right.
they could call me. And I just say something real. It's nice, short and sweet, in the bounce message that goes back. I love that.
Mm.
I do. I love it. And I've been using it for 7 years. So, I mean, you know, I'm definitely biased. I love it. But in any case, Patrick, this has been great information.
Well, I was just thinking about something. You know, one of the things that comes to mind too is, how many times have we received something from somebody we know, and they never sent it?
That's exactly right.
And I've become very leery of this. If I see something that's a little odd, it may come from somebody I know, and if I preview it, which I probably shouldn't have done, I'll see something that just doesn't fit, and I'll close it and delete it, and then I'll call the person and say, did you mean to send this to me?
That's right.
Because it's probably something really off the wall, and inevitably they'll all say no. Why? And I said, you know, I would tell them, you have a virus.
Absolutely.
And it is in your machine, and it is sending emails out using your machine.
To their address book. That's right. That's
yes.
the scary thing.
That's
and, you
right.
know, have you noticed this, Patrick? You probably yep. did. When you receive those type of emails, mm-hmm. all of the receivers are in the two area.
Mm-hmm.
Not they're not blind mm-hmm. copied or anything. They're in the two area. So you see all these other email addresses that it's
right.
happened to. And that's scary. Mm-hmm. And that's the other reason you've got to watch. You know, when you're using these free services, you have people's information inside of there in your address book, in your contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
that's the danger. It's just not protecting yourself, and that you have to do that, but you should be looking out for your friends and family too, and your business associates and contacts
right.
that you have. And by having them in there, it's a loose, and it's obviously, look at the news today with Yahoo. Once again, it's a very, very easy system to breach and get into. So this has been great, and I know that the pointers and the solutions have they've been noted by the listeners. There's no doubt that they have. Certainly appreciate all that your time and that you spent today.
More than welcome.
We do appreciate that. And in closing, I just want to say to the listeners, may the Lord just give you wisdom to be a good steward over all your information, your emails, everything that you do online, your freedoms and your privacies at stake, your securities at stake. But I'm your host, David Boron. You've been listening to George Orwell 2840's show. Have a blessed day and a blessed week, and we look forward to having you back next week.